We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God. Be revived.
Praise the Lord. Okay, the Lord will help me this morning. Okay, Daddy has been teaching on Armors of Meekness. Of course, the series has ended, and we are doing review on it. We are still doing review on it. So Daddy instructed me to just strengthen one or two things as the Lord gives me grace, and just expand them as I understand some of them, and hoping that the Lord will make that a blessing to us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we have a word of prayer again? Let's just ask the Lord to help us this morning, beginning from me standing before us. The Lord, ask for help. I ask for mercy. I ask for grace. I ask for grace. I ask for grace. I ask for grace. I do not have what it takes to stand here, but I just trust you to help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we see Hebrews chapter 2? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wherefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Amen. More earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen. So it needs that these things can slip. Hallelujah. So they say we should give more earnest heed to it. Amen. So that they will not slip. So it means that if we don't give earnest heed to it, they will definitely slip away. Amen. But Lord will help us to give earnest heed to it. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward. So this is a word spoken by angels. Amen. It's not just spoken by angels. This is the words of the angelic. Hallelujah. You know, listening to Daddy for over 10 years now, these scriptures have been taught over and over again. Many people believe that the word of God is the word of God. And there are different kinds of words, amen, in scriptures. This one is the one spoken by angels. Hallelujah. There are words spoken by angels, amen. Hallelujah. That's verse 2. So if the word spoken by angels is steadfast, amen. It's angels that spoke these words. It's steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. So if you transgress that word and you disobey that word, it has a reward. For how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That's another word. Amen. Which is what? So great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord. So this one has not been spoken until Jesus came to the scene. You didn't agree with that? Is that in line with this scripture? It says that how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So this word is termed the word of so great salvation. So great salvation. So great salvation. The Lord will help us this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So great salvation, which at first began to be spoken. At first. It means that nobody spoke these words until Jesus came. Did you agree with that? Amen. He is the first that started speaking this kind of word. At first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto them that heard him. So those that heard him are his disciples first. They are the one that begin to, after some years, they mature to also speak these words too. And they continue to speak it. So this is word spoken by the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But he called it, if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the word. So it's the word of so great salvation. Can you say that? Say it's a word of so great salvation. Say it again. Say it's a word of so great salvation. So it means this word communicates so great salvation. That is what these words carry. Amen. Words are carriers of things. So words carry things. Amen. But this particular word that Jesus began to speak carries what is called so great salvation. So the DNA of that word is the DNA of so great salvation. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. So it's the seed that carries so great salvation. So when that word is spoken to you and you keep that word and you find mercy to keep that word and you allow the word to run through its course. Amen. Hallelujah. One best way to see words in scripture is a seed. Amen. It's a seed. Amen. Locked up in every seed is the program. There's a DNA of that seed. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Amen. Someone said the difference between a seed and a tree is a period of time. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. So a seed is the whole tree compressed. So God has a way to take himself and compress it into a seed. Amen. So he compressed it into a seed, you know, so that it can be passed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But if you allow that word to find a conducive environment and begins to, you know, sprout, it begins to germinate and it undergoes its total cycle, it will produce something that looks exactly like God because it is God's seed. Did you understand what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm talking about? So it is God's seed. That means that everything, or let me not say everything, let me say the characteristics of God is embedded in that seed. So if that seed is held and kept and the seed going through all the cycle, because there is a cycle that tree has to go through. The seed of human has to go through about 9 month cycle. Do you understand? To be able to come out as a baby, which is not even the full grown. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we say that 9 months. 9 months is for the babyhood of the seed. If you want to talk about the full maturity of the seed, maybe 30 years of a man's seed. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Yeah, maybe about 30 years for a grown, mature man to appear. So that child giving birth to is still going through cycles. It's still going through cycles of babyhood, adolescence. Cycles are still running until it comes to a place where it becomes fully everything of man, every attribute of man, it can manifest it. A baby cannot manifest everything of man. He can do some, but not all. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Are you getting what I'm saying? But by the time you keep growing, you cannot get to a point where you can say that, oh, it has fully evolved. That means everything a man can do, that particular, seed that have gone through complete evolution can now carry it out. Hallelujah. So with that understanding, when you say the word of great salvation is the word Jesus was speaking, so as he's speaking those words are not just, you know, mere words. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirits and they are life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So those words are powerful. Say they are powerful. They are powerful. With this understanding, when we come to the meeting of the church, and as mommy taught us, the meeting of the church. Amen. Because the church is not the building. Amen. It's the meeting of the church. Amen. When we come to the meeting of the church, you know, we should have an understanding of what we are interfacing. When the teaching is going on, it's not an ordinary thing. It's not an ordinary thing. It's anywhere the words of salvation is being communicated on earth is the most sacred place on the universe. Because you can't see places where there is no other seeds that is higher than the seed of the Creator. Who
who is the one that made all things. So anywhere you see his seeds being casted, is the highest platform on earth. Sincerely. You know, sometimes Satan has make us see that the highest platform on earth is in places where there is nothing going on there. Places where debt is accumulating. Places where people are groping in darkness. People where people don't have sight. Nothing great is happening there. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Amen. And then you know how the things of God, you know, one of the series that Daddy was teaching in Armor of Meekness, and he was trying to talk about how God's the Father like lowly places. You know, places where the Father cast his seed. If you are not careful, if you have been trained by this world, and the world has given you a sight, you will despise such places with your indices of measurement of high places. Now, somebody can come to this kind of gathering now and is checking how, you know, is using a parameter to check if people are successful or not. I don't know if you are getting what I'm talking about. And then if it's such kind of, if you have that kind of parameter of judgment, you will despise God's seed. And you will despise the place the seed is being casted. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So there is even a sight that is needed to appreciate where the seed is being communicated. There is even a sight that is needed to appreciate the seed if it's been found. I don't know if you getting what I'm saying? Jesus likened him to, he likened that seed when he was talking in one of his parables as a mustard seed. Mustard seed. Amen. Hallelujah. A mustard seed is very tiny. It's very little. You know, very, very tiny seed. Amen. You can check it online. You can see. It's like, okay. Amen. It says, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Well, comparison, shall we compare it? It is like a grain of the mustard seed. So the whole kingdom of God, say kingdom of God. It's not kingdom of men. It's not kingdom of angels. Kingdom of God is being programmed. The whole system is being programmed into a seed. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Hallelujah is a mystery. As the seed is evolving, you are entering that dominion. So the dominion is not a particular location. The dominion can be expressed anywhere. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Hallelujah. It's just if you have the nature of the dominion, anywhere you are, the dominion is. Oh, did you get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say God's kingdom. Or it says mustard is like a grain of a mustard seed, which when it is sown into the earth, it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. So it's very, it can easily be despised. You can lose it and it looks like you lost nothing. Oh, did you get what I'm saying? You can lose it and it looks like you lost nothing. It can be aborted and you look like you nothing happened. But a major seed of God and his kingdom has been lost. That will not be our portion in Jesus. So it can easily, you now know why Hebrews said you can easily slip away. Because it's very tiny. Very, very tiny. Very can easily be despised. Can easily be despised. It can easily be despised. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it's a seed of salvation. I just say some few things about salvation. As God grant me grace, I will use that to connect the thought of meekness. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As we have been taught, you know, in the house, salvation is the greatest thing God can give to a man. And when I mean salvation, I'm not talking about new births. I'm not talking about being new birth. I'm talking about the coming to a place where you have acquired God's nature. Amen. Hallelujah. Is the greatest thing that God can give the man. Anything God gives to a man and is not salvation is lesser than salvation. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Hallelujah. You know, the God who created all things can give you things and not give you himself.
Now, what does it mean to give himself? You know, as if God now become your slave and you have a remote to be controlling him. That's not what it means. For God giving you himself is that he gives you his nature. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. That's where the issue is. These things are not appreciated. God giving me nature. What will I do with it? You know, what I'm thinking about? I heard somebody say that when people talk salvation, when you begin to lack some other things, you will understand. You have God's nature. What will be other things that you will lack? Then you don't know what salvation is. Amen. That means you're saying God is lacking. Yes. If God gives you his nature, and you say, yeah, I've gotten God's nature, but because I don't take prosperity seriously, I'm now lacking prosperity. It's not God's nature you have. It's not possible. Because if you have God's nature, as God is, you are. Did you get what I am saying? Amen. Hallelujah. So salvation is not another topic in the Bible that should be taught for another one. Do you understand what I'm saying? As Daddy taught us, and he taught us, were all topic in scriptures are to stream into salvation as the major cause. The major cause and emphasis of the scripture is salvation. That is the only emphasis that the Bible bear witness to from Genesis to Revelation. That is the reason why scripture, by God's wisdom, was originally put together for. When you use scripture for any other emphasis, too much. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are already abusing the scriptures. The scripture comes alive and align and arrange themselves when salvation is being taught. Because they were all put together for the purpose of salvation. So salvation is what God taught before he went into the business of making man. Salvation is not an afterthought. After man now fell, God now say, okay, let's do salvation. No. The man that has not yet fallen needed salvation. It was because he has not gotten salvation that he actually fell. So salvation is safety as God is. A saved man is not threatened by anything. Nothing threatens a saved man. He said, God cannot be tempted. Those attributes of God is, when you say God cannot be tempted, you are going not after his ability to create. You are going after his core. The reason he cannot be tempted is because he has a configuration that does not answer to temptation. He doesn't answer to anything. Nothing can pull that thing. He's higher than everything. That is what he wants to give to man. And that is the reason why this kind of church is existing. We are not really here to make Christianity colorful for people to now like it in that sense. We are here to be saved. Amen. And we need to understand that. Amen. Amen. It is a all. If you look at every teaching that is being taught, is all streaming into. Do you know how rivers flow into the ocean? So the major waters of the earth is the ocean body. So all the rivers, River Niger, River Benue, River Nile, mention them. All of them, where did they end? They all ended there. So that is the mother of all waters. So salvation is the mother of all topics in the scripture. So when you teach prosperity and it's not ending salvation, you don't miss road. You have missed it. And it's taking you somewhere else. You have missed it. When you teach marriage and it's not dovetailing into salvation, you have missed it. When you teach faith and it's not entering into salvation, when you teach healing and it's not entering into salvation, something is wrong. You know, Rick Jonas said it in one of his book, was that, is it the call or whatever. He was talking about how every streams of truth should enter into one major one, which is salvation. He said it exactly the way I said it. Amen. So salvation is not that experience of new birth. It
It's part of it, but it's beyond that. It actually began in that is the beginning of it. If you see it as the end of everything, no, that's not it. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Are you getting what I'm saying? So God wants man to be as he is. Are you getting what I'm saying? Says as he is, so are we in this world. He wants us to be the way he is. He wants us to bear his image. He wants us to have divine nature. That's what we are saying. So that's salvation. Salvation is to be the way God is. And when we say that, it's not, you know, sometimes when we hear that, okay, the way God is, what you think about God is power. We created the Red Sea and divided it and all that. That's not actually the context. Those things you see are not really the exclusive attributes of God. Did you get it? Amen. We believe in miracles, and it's in scriptures, and it's happening. It happened here all the time. Amen. But miracles is not the emphasis of the New Testament. Hope I'm not saying something wrong, Pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God wants to save us. You know, the children of Israel had a lot of miracles in the wilderness, which some of us have not even dared to see. We have not. How many of you have seen stream at the back of your house divided before? Stream. You know, you just saw the thing. You see, and the thing parted. Hey! Have you seen it? Have you seen that kind of thing? How many of you have eaten, you know, miracle food for a month? Say, God, I bless you. Just open your pot and then it gets filled. How many of us have had that kind of things before? How many of us have seen, you know, maybe in your house, literally, cloud will cover your house and the whole place will be littered up? It's not the electricity, it's not IBDC, it's not PHCN, it's just power. How many of you have had that kind of thing before? People had a lot of experience more than this. And the Bible said to some of them, God was not pleased. So if you are God and you are in the business of wanting to be pleased, I assure you will now know that this is not this you will understand that this the one does not what makes people please me. You now look for another way. I don't know if you are getting, even though that will happen, but you not use that to now begin to expect that maybe when they see this they will please me. I don't know. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So salvation is actually, you know, what God has in mind. He wants to raise us to be as he is. He wants to give us his nature. So what do you say is want to be the way God is? We're talking about the attributes, God's attribute that is exclusive to God. Oh, if I'm using the right English, exclusive means that is particularly to him. That you cannot see that attribute anywhere else. You can't see that attribute anywhere else. I was discussing with someone, we were fellowshipping together, and I said, when you hear incorruptible, you are calling God. Nobody can answer that name in heaven. And there's incorruptible. When Jesus will say, give him way. This is the person you are talking about. He's not talking to us. They understand that they are corruptible. So all those words are exclusive to a being. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Fortunately, that is actually what makes him powerful. Not what he does. Because angels, which are corruptible, can do most of the things that we think is what makes God powerful. They can do them. To an inheritance incorruptible. Undefiled. See, these attributes are not attributes of anybody but God. They told one angel, they said, thou have defiled our sanctuary. It means that he's not undefiled. He's not undefiled. Yes, he's a very high angel. How you know he's a very high angel? Look at what he's doing. Look at hey. Pastor, it's not just troubling the world. The world is serving him. Not even knowing.
is you know, thou art defiled thy sanctuary by the multitude, that is Ezekiel 28, verse 18, by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquities of the trafficking, thou had, you know, all the stuff. Amen. Thou art sinned. So he was defiled. Amen. So he's not undefiled. He is not undefiled. He doesn't have such attributes that is of God. So he's not undefiled. Scripture says that God is the inheritance, describing that inheritance, is undefiled, is incorruptible. Incorruptible means that it cannot be corrupted. Amen. You cannot corrupt it. And it faded not away. That cannot be heaven. Because Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10 says heaven is fading. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10, lay the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the works of thy hands, and they shall perish. But thou remainest. He's talking about a man that has become incorruptible. And they all shall wax old as though the garment, as a vesture they shall be folded up and the like. So they fade away with time. They fade. Amen. Earth is fading. Hope you know that. They are fading. They were not as strong as they were when they were made originally. So they are already fading away. Amen. Hallelujah. Incorruptible. I'm still trying to, you know, by God's grace and by the grace upon God's servant, paint the salvation thing again. Incorruptible, undefiled, that faded not away. So if you have these things, you will not fade. You know, people fade. People change. People change from strength to being weak. I ever see somebody that speak against something, and after many years, he's doing the same thing. It means that it's corruptible, it's fading, it's getting weaker. It's not getting better, it's gradually getting weak. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take me back, please. Amen. Incorruptible, undefiled, it faded not away. It faded not away. It's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it faded not away. Who are kept and reserved in heaven for you. So it's not these things, these attributes are not attributes of heaven as a place. And they are attributes of something, permit me to use that word, that is reserved in heaven. And then if you get to, he said, this thing is reserved in heaven. Maybe you have a list. I'm looking for something. You get to heaven. He says, there's something I'm looking for. What are you looking for? They say that thing is incorruptible, it's undefiled, faded not away. You are now in heaven. They say, they told me that it's reserved in heaven for me. They'll bring you, they'll say it's in God. So when you get to heaven, it's not everywhere in heaven. It's in God who is in heaven. So these things are things in God. So these are the attributes, the potential of God's seed. If you allow God's seed to finish its work, it produces something like this. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. It produces something like this. It produces something that becomes incorruptible. Something that becomes undefiled. Something that cannot fade away. In another place, he personified it in Hebrews chapter 7, and he says that he's far, was separated from sinners. For such a high priest, so a man embodied these things. His name, the first man that embodied these things, his name is Jesus Christ. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. He was the first person that became this thing. So if you get to heaven now, this thing is in him. I don't know. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Hallelujah! For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled. You see it again? Separate from sinners. Made is in heaven, but is higher than the heavens. So is higher than where he physically is right now. Are you getting what I am saying? It's higher than the heavens.
is undefiled, is holy, is harmless. He doesn't harm, and you can't harm him. You don't understand? He doesn't harm, you know, he doesn't harm us in quotes of harming, whatever, but you can't harm him. Amen. It's not, you can't harm him. Amen. It's undefiled. It's separate from sinners. It's made higher than the heavens. It's made better than angels. It's made better than angels. He remaineth while some other things are fading. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. Look at it. Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is what is laid before us to desire. But there are many, many adversaries. This is what they want us to use our time on earth to become. So by the time you are leaving earth and you are blowing away, every other thing that matters fades away. This one only stands out. So when you get to heaven, they don't ask of any other things. They now begin to talk about this alone. Because this is the reason why we all exist. This is the reason why man was created. This is the reason why this teaching, this word of righteousness, tool for ministry. It's not a tool for ministry. It's a tool for salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this is what is before us. This is what is before us to pursue. This is what God wants us to use our whole time on earth to look for. 1 John chapter 3. Let's look at, I'm still describing it, describing the word as seed. Now, it's not every word that is this word. I've said that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Amen. Now, you know, thank God for 1 John. There was a time that he took a series on it for a long time, almost about 20-something parts. For a real long time, you know, he taught it, I think he has taught it almost twice. And taught it, he has been teaching this 1 John over and over again. Amen. Hallelujah. So, one time they talk about something that is of God. To make you, to show you how strong it is, they use sin as a way to tell you that it's very strong. I don't know how to explain that. Amen. So, they're like this nature, this when you are born of this, so to tell you that it's strong, that is very powerful, is that you can't commit sin. Then what is this sin? it means what actually makes God who he is, separated, powerful, is that he cannot commit sin. Not because he created the heaven and the earth. Are you getting the thing? Are you reasoning the way I'm reasoning? So, whosoever is born of God, he didn't use any other thing. He didn't say will not forsake. He didn't say will live healthily all through his life. Those things are wonderful. We thank God for them. They are part of our benefits as children of God. He didn't say he will not lack anything. He will prosper us all through. He didn't say all those things. Amen. It means that you can have those benefits and you are still committing sin. And you are still under the dominion of sin. And you have not been delivered from sin. And if you've been put under pressure, you can do some things that you don't even think you can do. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So what are we saying? If you can still commit, say commit. If you can still commit sin, if they can still create an environment that can still bring something of that's not in line with God's attribute out, then you are not saved. Did you get that? Or let me put it this way, you are not saved as God is. Amen. And the promise of the New Testament is to be saved as God is. Scripture called it in Hebrews, saved to the uttermost. I used to look at that word. It's saved to the uttermost. So there's uttermost saving. So I can be saved, but it's not to the uttermost. Are you getting what I'm saying? Show me that scripture. See, wherefore, say, Hebrews 7, 25. You see that same scripture dovetailed to a high priest. Are you seeing? Are you seeing? So he says, wherefore, he is able to save, also save them who to the uttermost. What does it mean, uttermost? That means you can be saved, Pastor, and it's not to the uttermost. This is what Hebrew in chapter 2 call it so great. Saved to the uttermost that come unto him, unto God by him. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. So that means you can be saved to the say, I'm tired. You just say, hey, don't worry. Strengthen you, push you. It still remains small. You never get to the end. He pushes you again. He wants to bring you to the uttermost where you are completely, holistically saved. Uttermost that came unto God by him. Saved to the uttermost. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So 1 John chapter 7 says the seed. 1 John chapter 3 rather. Quickly, please. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me read from verse 7. From verse 7. Amen. Are we getting something this afternoon, this morning? Amen. Say, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Someone say, what you do, what you do determine what you become. So if you doeth righteousness, you will be righteous. If you doeth sin, you will be. You'll be what, sir? You'll be sin. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. You do righteousness to be righteous. In this context, you do righteousness to be righteous. This righteousness is not a gift of new birth. Your spirit was made righteous because you believed. But this one you have to do to be righteous. Do you agree with what I'm saying? It means when God reveals his standard, you have to agree with it and do it. So doing righteousness is what makes us righteous in our soul. It makes us right. It tilts us to the right position in our soul. Even as he is righteous, he that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The next verse, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, you see that? So that is what is the responsibility. That's what engaged the batting process. Is the seed. For his seed, say his seed is particular about it. Is his own seed. You know, God created every all kinds of things, and even down to plants, they have seeds. They have seeds here and there. Seeds here and there, and all they just playing with seeds, you know, principles. You see, seeds principles. If you study biology, they will tell you that plants that does not have seed, they are not true plants. Maybe some other lesser, whatever. When you talk about true flowering plants, they start talking about seed. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So God did everything, just bless nature with seed. Men have seed, animals have seed, you know, just have seed. But he that created things that have seed also have his own seed. The most sacred seed ever. The seed that was not created is his own seed. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Whosoever is born of God. So what engaged God's batting is God's seed. Born of God, remaineth in him. They said, for the seed remaineth in him. He cannot see because he is born of God. He didn't say because he's a Christian. Amen. Amen. Christianity should end here. That's when you can say it's successful. Hallelujah. Because it's born of God. Hallelujah. Jesus talk about this seed also in the parables, and then he call it the word is the, he said the seed is the word of God. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, I guess, the seed, the parable is, the seed is the word of God. Amen. So this word of God, which is the one that can bat to bring someone to a place where you have God's nature, it's called the word of God. The seed is the word of God. And then Jesus talks about a lot of things around it. Amen. For that seed to be able to germinate and to prosper, he talked about a major parable was around the seed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, Lord, help me. I want to connect something. Lord, help me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the sower there is not sowing a seed, you know, that is not, is actually his own seed he was sowing. Amen. And you that hear the word of the kingdom and understand it not, and a lot of things is around that seed. Hallelujah. Okay, let's talk about, now I say all these things to actually channel my thought into what I'm about to start saying now. So the Lord will grant us understanding this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. When we were born again, when we experienced new birth, you know, that they have been laboring on meekness. Of course, they have finished the series, but that does not mean that message is already expired. Amen. It's not. The message, we still need to, you know, labor around the message and all that. He talks about meekness. Now, meekness, according to scripture, is not what happens to you or what you, part of the things you gain when you experience new birth. Amen. You can have a foretaste of some of those things. Amen. But to be meek, amen, is a product of obedience. Amen. I will say all the things that Daddy said again. I will say them again and just reiterate them. It's a product of obedience. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What did I say meekness is? Meekness is a product of obedience. So if you don't walk in the Spirit, you can't come to a place where you can be termed meek. Amen. And some of these, you know, attributes in scriptures, if we are not careful, the carnal man can give us an understanding of what it is. And that's why we have to be very careful. That's why we have to stay, just like Daddy has been laboring, stay with the word and stay by the definition of the word and stay by what the word calls it. Amen. And labor around it so that we will not be deceived. Amen. There is what is called meekness. By the sin, one of the things that makes sin deadly is that sin has definition for everything. So when I say, meekness, now in the rain now, sin will define. Sin will come up with the meekness that you don't need to go through the process of learning Christ to become. So you will have what is called the form, pastor say China. You know. You look at the original and you patent it. You know, you just have what kind of a form of godliness. You deny the power that should be generating such things. You don't have the power, but you have the form. What happened? Something must have gone wrong somewhere. So when we say meekness, we are not just talking about form. We're talking about something that has to begin from inside. We're talking about something that has to begin from learning Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. When I mean learning Christ, I'm talking about learning the curriculum in scripture that is called Christ. Christ is not just a person. Christ is a syllabus of learning. It says you have not so much learned Christ. One thing God did is that, first of all, they turn a... how do I put it now? Holy Spirit, help me. God has a way of turning a being or a nature into learning or into light. Imagine the first medical doctor we have on earth. I don't know. I'm just imagine, you know, the person that is you know, imagine a professor of medicine who is like everything that discipline custode, he knows everything. Are you getting what I'm talking about? So now, you see, that person has a knowledge, has a light that they have to excavate and place as departments. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. So messing is not just a learning, it's also a person. So when you learn the light, it turns to the person that we call doctor. So it's a light that you learn. You get anatomy here, histology there, physiology here, embryology there, and you have to kick their understanding inside you until a whole being called medical doctor is formed. So Christ is a being that has been turned into a light that should be learned to become the being. So if you have Christ's property without the learning process, you are like a student who has a stethoscope and he has not attended a medical class. You are a quack. You will not be able to profess as you ought to. You dodge the learning, but you have the form. Or you went to steal somebody's lab coat. You have the form. Oh, you can even deceive some people. Ah, yeah, it's meek. But after 3 months, the meekness disappeared. It is not the meekness produced by learning. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Hallelujah. So meekness, when Moses ran away from Egypt and came to Jethro's house, they did not say he was the meekest. It took a process for him for about 40 years. Then they say he was the meekest man on the surface of the earth. So it's not with something that after obedience. And I look at it and say, scripture, amen. Compare meekness with something. Let's look at Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, yes. I'm not jumping ahead of myself. Amen. Isaiah 61, I guess. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings. Unto who? Say, unto the meek. Say, they can say, unto the meek. So I will still connect it back from where I was coming from. So, unto the meek. And he has sent me to bind the brokenhearted. Amen. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison door to them that are bound. Now, Jesus took this scripture and said it again in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Let's look at the version that Jesus said. He opened the book and he read from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has, amen. And okay, let's read from verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of prophet Isaiah. And when he has opened the book, he found the place that it was written, that's Isaiah 61. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So Jesus replaced the meek with the poor. So the meek actually is the poor. Amen. Is the poor. Poor of what? Amen. Hallelujah. So what makes us not meek is because we are rich. Hallelujah. We are rich. I'm not talking about of money or something. No. But you see, thank you, sir, Pastor. We are rich of this world. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I was going to come there. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So Jesus replaced the meek with the poor. So the poor here is that those that have been emptied of something. Hallelujah. They have been emptied of something. Something, they have been emptied of something. Emptied of this world. James chapter 2 verse 4. They have been emptied of this world. So a man may not have money, but he is very rich. So this rich is not talking about he has car. No. It's, amen. Hallelujah. It talks about worldly judgment and values. Verse 4. And ye not, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judge of evil thoughts? The next verse says that, hearken, my beloved brethren, had not God chosen the poor of this world. So then Paul, this world, don't read that. He's poor in this world, though. The guy no get cow, he's poor. It's not like that. He's poor of worldly things. He may have 20 cars, but he's poor of worldly judgments. He's poor of seeing things the way the world sees them. They have emptied him of the world. I don't know if you are getting what I'm talking about.
So everyone that comes to the faith, quicken. Well, we are rich. We are rich. We are rich of things. You are rich. That's why when he talks to me like that, the reason why you talk like that is because you are rich, man. You have something. You have an advantage. You have something. There's a way you carry yourself that God is not carrying you like that. So they have to empty you. And it's not by confession. It's a gospel that will do that job. It's a gospel. This is how, when you begin to hear this gospel, it begins to empty you of your riches. Jesus demonstrated to one guy that came to him. He said, sell all. Now, it was so much physical for him like that because his own riches, which some people are like that, is not just in the heart. It has also entered things. I don't know if... Are you getting what I'm saying? So, when your riches move from the heart into things, when they are going to empty you, they will be lost of things. I don't know if you are getting... Are you getting what I'm talking about? Hallelujah! So they'll have to expire us. You know why? They have to, that thing, amen. Holy Spirit, help me with words. Amen. Help me, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's look at other scriptures. Okay, we have checked. Let's look at Isaiah 29 verse 19. Isaiah 29 verse 19. Who rich of this world, we are rich of this world. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, say the meek also will it increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among the men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. So he's comparing the two. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when a meek man is a man that has been emptied, a meek man is the man that has been emptied of the things of Egypt. Moses, according to Acts chapter 7, we don't know much about Moses until Stephen say one or two things about him. He wished the time Moses was born and was exceeding fair, nourished up in his father's house 3 months, and when he has cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. The next verse. And Moses learned in all the wisdom of Egypt. What did he learn? This is not chemistry and physics. That's why we must be wise. Go to school to learn chemistry and physics, not to learn this world. Because one thing Satan has done is that he has sandwiched mathematics with this world. So you learn mathematics. You also learn how to use this world to define who is rich or not. But they didn't teach you that in mathematics. It's a spirit. Oh, did you get what I'm talking about? But when you graduate, you have a yardstick of success and not successful. But you didn't go to learn that 25 way to notice a successful person. They didn't teach you that. But where did you get that from? So we must be wise that you learn things in school but not got the eye of this world. So why would someone that has PhD be struggling to marry a brother that the Lord is leading that is a carpenter? If it is only PhD you innocently learned, you will not have that issue. You didn't learn PhD, you learned courage. You learned class. You learned how to compare yourself with the way they do it in this world. Why would somebody leave school and have issues with someone that does not have a vehicle and respect someone that has one than the other? You don't just go into school. They taught you a way that learning of Christ will take away. They will not take your school away, so don't be afraid. But they will take that way of seeing things away. That is what God is angry with. It's an enemy of God. If you are like that, you will fight God, not even knowing. I don't know if you are. It's a carnally minded man cannot be subject to the laws of God. So it is that thing we have to, you know, God is giving us grace by our parents to separate it. We are not saying people should not go to school, but go to school. Don't learn this world. Shebi, you say your discipline is chemistry. Don't learn chemistry. Learn element and atom. Don't learn this world. There are two different things. Hallelujah. Says, you that is a graduate, how can you settle for that brother like that? Okay, let's remove graduate and remove. You know, people, all we used to measure ourselves at death, we all became the same. Why are we not relating with ourselves? The way we relate with ourselves when all those things are gone. Oh, I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. So God wants us to learn those things, but not use it as a judgment, as a yardstick to think you are better than one that does not have. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. So the message is clear. We're not saying people should become what's it called now? Oh, no, 90. No. If that is what you are hearing, then something is wrong. Hear the message again and separate the two. They are not the same. They are not the same. Yes. Somebody will say that if that is the case, then why did I now go to school? That means that you have been taught wrongly why to go to school. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. So these are the things that they're supposed to expire us from. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. The things of Egypt. Moses has learning. He learned all the wisdom of Egypt. All the wisdom. He was a stature of an Egyptian. When they saw him, Jethro's daughter saw him. They say, we met an Egyptian. He's a courage. When you see him, you see... Have you? Some of our countries, some of our nations on this earth are like that. Have you met a pure blood American? There's a way they see you as a second class citizen of the world. Hallelujah! He has the wisdom of Egypt. Was mighty in words and in deeds. Egyptian, it was full of it. For him to become the meekest man, they have to empty him of it. They have to empty. God designed a place. May you not run from a place they are removing things from you. May you stay there until they expire all those things. They cornered Moses. He stayed there. They removed those things from him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
It's an evil cop. It's an epi shaparo kofina asay brahati azifana. It's an evil cop. Kiavrami opaka is a kalka is a kelegina famo. Amy, I take my own, take my cup, take my own cup. Hakenia sisia labana, shiprovenika, stay, agargabaste, avanaiti namata, imata. If Elvon, heaven call, yeah, the heaven call.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some of it came out very clear. You know, the Lord wants us to take his own cup. And he wants to empty us of a particular cup. You know, when you read the book of Revelation, it talks about a cup that the woman Babylon was given. You know what makes people drunk? Are things. Passions. All kinds of passions. All kinds of passions. You know, the Lord placed it in the heart of his servant for us to talk about communion around. Why is communion scanty? People are communing with all kinds of things. Some people commune with their job. Absolutely.
Gadala Katasia Bronothania Zevera Katose Bragadala Kapastavana. Oh, I want to give you eyes to see the cup. I want to give you eyes to see the cup, but much more. I want to even put even a sense in you that will cause you to hate the cup. You must hate the cup. You must hate the cup. You must hate the cup. For even why men are finding it difficult to put away the cup is because of the profit. Even the profit that this cup has given to men. Even this cup has its profit. Even this cup has cost men to come into profit. Even profit. Even profit. Even profit of this world. Even profit of this world that has even moved men. Moved men even more into debt. Even moved men even more into debt. More into debt. But I'm bringing a wisdom. I'm giving you a sense. I'm doing a surgical work inside of you. I'm doing a surgical work inside of you to put love, even love for my ways, and put hatred, even hatred for this cup of Babylon, even the cup of this world that has caused men's heart to be overcharged with surfeitings. Oh, I want to do a work. I want to do a work. Open, even open your heart. Put your heart even on the table. Put your heart even on the table. Put your heart even on the table for me to carry out a surgical operation. Even a surgical operation. Even a surgical operation. You must stay on that table still for me to do this work inside of you. For me to do this work inside of you. For me to take and yank away this word. Even yank away the love of this word even inside your heart. Even inside your soul. Even inside your soul. Even inside your soul, that you will be innocent of this world. Amen. That you come to a place where you are innocent of this world. You are innocent of this world. You will learn how to use this word and not abuse this Amen. Word. You will learn how to use the things and not abuse it, because you will be innocent. You will come into a frame of holiness where you would also be separated, even separated from the pollutions and the corruption that is in this world. That is the work I am doing. That is the work I want to do in man. I want to inoculate you. I want to inoculate you. I want to immune you. I want to immune you from the forces of corruption that has caused men, even that has caused men to begin to journey, even to begin to journey on the way of death. That men are fast on the way of death. Men are fast on the way of death even without knowing. And they have protected even this way with their life. But I want to show you how dangerous that is. I want to show you how dangerous that is, because men have journeyed far. Men have journeyed far. But for you, I want you to see the ugliness of this world. I want you to see how dirty and how foolish as it were. How foolish that loving this world can cause even a man to lose his soul. He said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? I am giving you a sense where you will not exchange your soul for this world. I don't want you to exchange your soul for this world. I don't want you to exchange your soul for this world. That is what Satan is propagating. That is what Satan is offering. He wants you to exchange your soul for this world. But I want to give you a sense where you can lay hold through patience to possess your soul in salvation. And yet, you would also be able to live and not be stained even by the spot of this word, saith the Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir. Hallelujah. Pastor, thank you, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor GP, thank you so much, sir. Thank you for holding mic for small boys. Lord is your strength, sir. Amen. You know, I wanted to say something. The first time I met Mommy, and then, you know, I never knew that she was a consultant in the UCH. And of course, I schooled in Ife, and I've related with people that had such kind of whatever. So when I got to know, I said, no, it's there's something that was missing. And that thing that was missing was this world. I don't know if you are getting what I'm talking about. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. That was missing. So when you look at it, why is this person not behaving like someone of that status? That behaving like is not informed by the principles of God. I don't know. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. The Lord will help us. You know, I believe, and it has been said by our parents and our fathers in this work, that God will raise great people on earth with this thing. But when you see them, you will never know. You see it. Great, I mean, put a lot of things in their hands. But the Lord has led them. They are ordinary. When they were through with Moses, they could accuse him. You know, imagine the Moses that was in Egypt was the one leading. They no born Aaron. And to accuse him. I don't know if I get talking. It took God to defend him. He could not even fight. Korah raised people against him. You know, for Korah to even do that, he has studied Moses. He looked weak. He looked weak. This one. We'll take him out. He looked weak, but that weakness was higher than his strength. It is such people God defend. God does not defend a man that is strong in his own might. Amen. We saw David left throne for Absalom. Who is Absalom? David was a warrior all through his life. If they just give a ring between David and Absalom, just a swing of sword, he has removed him. He left the throne. He left the throne. When David had exploit with Goliath, at that age, Absalom was nothing. At the age of a teenager or 17, that he removed Goliath, the champion of a whole nation. So who is Absalom when David is throwing his CV? But David left the throne and ran away. He ran away. Amen. He left it for the Lord. He is meek. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's the way the Lord wants us to be. But they have to empty us of this world and put some other substances in us. Amen. They with meek and lowly substances. The Lord will deck us with it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And one thing that he said was that meekness was access to grace. Can we look at James and then we check 1 Peter also? It is grace. Amen. I want to say some few things about grace and move on. Grace actually, it's used out from God. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resisted the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Amen. So God give grace to the humble. Or, in a way to say it, God give grace to someone that has been emptied of this world. So the more God empty you of this world, the supply grace. Hallelujah. And then you see, I saw that. Let's look at, thank you for the scripture. Let's look at 1 Peter. Grace should be an advantage of a Christian. When a Christian does not have grace, pastor, it's not different from an unbeliever. Both of them are using strength. They are struggling. We should be using grace. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. But grace is not just, grace is for those that God has taught meekness. They are the one God gives grace to. Likewise, ye younger, submit to yourself. So anytime a submission, God will help us that we have this wisdom. As Daddy was teaching, you should see submission not as a burden, but as access to grace. Yeah. To a little degree, I've seen grace to a degree. And just like that, you say, nobody tested grace and want to do something else. I mean, you are doing something, even grace to carry out things in the natural, that God takes it over. You don't know how good that is. So people like hustling, they are horses. A hustler. They know how to go to Egypt for help. God wants us to be grace users. To use grace. You can use grace for everything. In fact, not can. Grace should be used for everything. One thing I saw, you know, watching Daddy and Mommy for a while, I noticed that this ministry is done by grace. I saw that. I saw that. And, Pastor, that is very good.
There's no struggle, it's grace. And how does the grace was accessed? The grace was accessed by waiting. That waiting thing was a meekness wisdom at work. You know, there's a way that God has called me and you bring out your mapping strategy. Where is the happening place in Ibadan? You locate the church close to Oluyole, Lalubasa, all those places. You just put it beside one, you know, kind of mind. You know, just put it beside one estate. Just calculate the whole thing. Then from here, we launch into the, you know, it was not like that. It was leading. And the leading was very humbling. So what were they doing? They were designing a vessel that grace can attract. That can attract grace. That can attract grace. Sometimes you just see some things happening. So you go, if Pastor Jimmy can do it, then I can go and do it. You can't do that. It's not him, it's grace. It's grace that is working. So there is an allocation of grace that a broken vessel over the years has attracted. Something like he sits down at home, he's not going anywhere, you know, babysitting Olubi and reading Bible. You know, it can be very humiliating. And maybe a friend just came back, where are you working? We are just waiting on the Lord. That's why I don't like with some religious preacher. They are lazy. They just hide under waiting on the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It was a grace. They were carving out vessel that grace can rest on. You see, most of our fathers in the faith in Nigeria, they are grace men. You know, those starting small. Amen. There's something he does. Bishop David Oyedepo said that they started with 3.5 members. I don't know who was the half. Or maybe somebody pregnant. I don't know who you guys. You know. So, you know, that thing that they are doing is not just God is using that thing to work something in the man. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. All those, you know, parts of that looks humiliating is a working of a vessel that can attract grace. We must be wise that when God situates, maybe you know how to do something better, you are best in it, and then they make somebody that doesn't know how to do it your guy. God has blessed you. Hey, they have given you an avenue for grace. I know what you now go and Satan start teaching you and you start fighting the person. You have spoiled or something. They have designed a grace whatever for you. Grace factory, grace curriculum. You spoil the whole thing. You are fighting against the person. This one, you don't even know how to do anything. Me, I know how to do it. You are not wise. This person is the one. Just come under the person and start serving the person. Deliberately with a pure heart. Serving the person. By loving the person. Serving the person. Grace, start resting. So sometimes, some of us, we are in the school of grace, but we are not wise. We are fighting the school. If you don't get what I am saying. Hallelujah. Maybe your sister stayed together all of a sudden. One sister just came to your quarters and he knows how to cook than you. Maybe you are the champion before. And people will eat the food and say, where have you been? Our sister. The food become the talk of the room. All food. That food. And you are there just sitting down. They have designed an avenue for grace. Say, my sister, you are better than me. Be cooking now. Let me be the one going to the market. You go to the market, buy all the food. What should I help you to do? You are doing it with joy. Where they start pouring grace. He giveth grace to the humble. God is faithful. He wants us to be grace users. So he creates an avenue for grace. But because we are not too, you know, we don't know. It looks humbling. It looks humiliating. It looks humiliating. Hallelujah. I've been there before. You just have an extra in school. And then you have an extra, you're not doing project. People are asking, how is the project going? You know, school environment can be very funny. Amen. Amen. I stayed in school and
I had a friend who was also a brother who was staying in PG Hall. So he showed me mercy to come and stay with him in PG Hall. So, and then because I've spent some time in school, some of my own class, whatever, already doing masters. So people say, oh, you're already doing your masters. How is it going? I say, it's going on fine. I was ashamed to say, it's not masters I'm doing. I have extra. So God was creating that. Sometimes God will just, by mercy, he just lied. Go and tell the person that I lied. He has gone. You know, God can be very funny sometimes. See, he has gone abuse. So I used to come out in the night, Pastor. In the night, where people will not see. You know, my school is a very funny school. And because I was a great, powerful man of God, my face is very popular. So, it is secret. And then God will now find a way that I met that brother again. And the Holy Ghost, now, tell him that you lied. I says, my brother, how are you doing, sir? He says, you're fine. The discussion we had the last time, I just have some things to just chip in. Just chip in. What is it there? I thought I was doing master. I said, yes. I even told some other people, I said, those people here, you told. I'm not doing masters. Actually, I'm not doing masters. I had extras. See the what happened and all that. The way you serve the Lord, what good? Serious. So the Lord is your strength to know this kind of stuff. But God was just showing me mercy because He wants to give me grace. So when they design such things, not because the Lord is wicked, He wants to give grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, we are not saying that you should go and design failure for yourself. I say God wants to give you grace. That's not what I am saying. That's not what I am saying. Follow the Lord. He knows how to. Funny enough, the one that designed for you, you run away from it. Go and design your own. Your own that will not give grace. No, follow Jesus. The Holy Ghost is the master of how to design things that will give you grace. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Grace is multi-purpose, it's multifunctional. Grace, you know, he said we resist the devil. You know, they resist the devil and he flee. Can you take me to that scripture? And that is going to be done by grace. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he seeth. God resists the proud and give grace to the humble. Submit yourself unto, therefore, to God and resist it. So it is grace energy you use to resist the devil. It's not just, he said, by strength shall no man prevail. You can't prevail with spirit by strength. This spirit is on your case and says, I'm a disciplined fellow. I will do this. Forget it. Human discipline cannot fight angelic spirit. It's not possible. So you need grace to resist them. And you attract that grace by being humble. Say amen. Hallelujah. So grace for the natural, grace for everything. You attract grace by humility. To carry out even God's assignment, you need grace. You need to go through the path of the Spirit. Because every path of the Spirit is a path of meekness. If your leading is not making you meek, and we can question it, that is not from the Lord. Yes. Every leading of the Spirit is to produce meekness. It's to empty you of the world and to produce meekness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So most of all, when people want to come into a place of, which word will I use now? Come into a very sensitive place. God will design a path. God will help us, yeah, including myself. God, help me. God will design a path that for them to attract grace. God has a way of doing it. I don't know who taught a message. I think it was Pastor Emeka during the Image and Glory Conference last 2 years or so. The way Solomon was crowned, Solomon's situations around Solomon has carved him a kind of person that can attract grace to lead Israel. When people like Adonijah was bringing out their chest, they believed the throne is for them. The newborn Solomon was not even, he was not, you know, when Adonijah called people, he didn't even call Solomon.
He was a rejected child in the committee of David's son. Solomon could not, because they will ask you, who is your mother? How did you get here, right? Just, he could not. When people like Adonijah was plotting for throne, Solomon was not in view. When people like Absalom was doing what, Solomon was not in view. So God just have a way of clearing those guys away because he wants to bring, if those guys were alive, how would Solomon do it? Especially, there was Amnon. Especially, what's the name of this one? Absalom. That was very, very ambitious. And he looks like David. Very, very ambitious. So Solomon has a kind of a frame of not even seeing himself worthy. So God uses all those kind of whatever around him to create somebody in him that when they even say that he's the one to come, and only God knows how he will walk to the place where they will pour hell on him. He will not be confident. Hey, it's my turn. Emilio Korn, you know what I'm saying? Solomon don't have such kind of frame. David has to encourage him for him to even do that because of a kind of whatever. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did you ever wonder how our Lord Jesus was raised? Or let me talk about David first. They say, go and bring your sons that they were anointed king. They forget one. They don't even see him as a son. It was when the prophet began to probe. Are you? Is it that God told me a lie or something? Is your name not Jesse? Yes. I think I got it right. But why is it all these all my sons? And, are you sure? Maybe somebody will just come and whisper to Jesse. Just forget to just forgive me. There's one. I'm sure he can't be. He can't be. Say, go and bring him. Say, you need to bring him. Prophet, you don't understand. That boy just say, go and bring him. Okay, you just sure, go and bring him. Sure. You know, that kind of a thing. The guys that have chest for throne. They have height. Stature. I said, no. Not this one. Amen. That I have rejected him. Amen. And they had to bring somebody that look. Some theology would say that maybe he was a son of a concubine of Jesse somewhere. Because in Israel, they don't reckon to be those ones as these ones. You know, they are just by the way. But he was the one that oil attracted. That frame attracts the oil. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. When I look at the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, at 30-something, people still remember that, and they told him at his way that you were born of fornication. You don't know what that means. They told him that we know, you have to take that scripture, that you are born of what, sir? 30 years after the whole thing happened, Pastor. It was 30 years. 30 years that an angel visited, whatever. Say, ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Not even this. There's a particular place where they tell him that you are born of fornication. Yeah. See, remember that particular. You can help me look for it. It's in the gospel. What are they saying? We know the story. That your mother was pregnant before they do the wedding. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. So Jesus grew up with that stigmatization. Can you imagine that a child, maybe of whatever, and then he goes to play and somebody says that... Is it that one that we don't know who is his father? Is it that one? Is it that one that... So, the Jesus' growing up was... That thing was around him. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying.
somewhere if, because they were still espoused before the woman came up with the child. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Imagine our sort setting that maybe Bro Paul and Sister Blessing, they are courting. We have fixed marriage date, 21st of January or 21st of December, and then by June, Sister Blessing is committee, marriage committee, let's convey what is happening. As they are trying to convey and say whatever, they call the brother. Brother, sit down. For now, submit the file of your office. When we are through with what we are to your assistant. And I ask him, and the brother says, actually, it's my fault. I'm the one that was responsible. That's what Joseph did. He said he's the one. He took it. So if Joseph has a lot in synagogue, he took the thing, took the shame, took her into her house. So all the head of the synagogue knows that this guy, you did this thing before the time for whatever. You understand what I'm saying? So Joseph will also have a kind of a look. Maybe when he got around, he says, all these brothers that self-control they don't have. You went to do whatever and all kind of things. So the thing was still there. Jesus grew up in that setting. And the Lord did not wipe it away from the memory of people. So that he can configure our Lord to attract grace. He needs to attract grace. So you need to grow up with that kind of thing. Hallelujah. You know, have you seen, maybe you just move to a brethren's place and then immediately you just move in. The person that used to do the work or maybe they have house girl, that's when the house girl just park away. And that you are the only girl in the house. Nobody label you house girl, but you know. what happened? You know, can you see it as a means to fashion you a vessel for grace? A vessel for grace. The Lord will carve us to fit into what He's doing. Amen. We use things to do that. The Lord will help us to yield to Him. Amen. The Lord will help us to yield. These things are all around us. The Lord just give us wisdom to be able to interpret well. Meekness is an ornament that attracts God. Can we look at 1 Peter chapter 3 as I'm already rounding up? Amen. Hallelujah. It attracts grace. And meekness are in levels. They are in levels. Meekness attracts God. Hallelujah. Say, whose adorning is, let it not be that of the outward adorning, plating of air, wearing of gold, or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meek and a quiet spirit. So meekness is an ornament. You know what an ornament is? It's an ornament. And then it's an ornament that attracts God. The Bible says in the sight of God is a great price. So when God sees a meek man, it attracts God. It attracts God to the person. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So what exactly, you know, I've talked about different levels at which meekness will make us attract grace and all that. But particularly, there's what we call all meekness. God actually puts that process in place for a particular something. And I want us to look. You can walk in meekness to a level or humility, and it can attract grace for your business. It's the same principle. That's what I'm saying. Maybe you served someone. Have you watched that movie, Ife Juna or something? Afame Funa. That guy attracts grace. You understand what I'm saying? He served his master well. He served his master with all of his heart. So when he did that, something came upon. So you can just serve someone in business, and then something will just rest on you. Grace. So when you go do your own as God leads you, just notice that the thing is working with no struggle. Grace is speaking because of what you did. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there are graces in different, so is ministry, all kinds of whatever. But that principle actually was put in place for something, even though it works for all the other thing. But so we should not be a people that you enjoyed grace in business and lost what exactly that principle was put in place for. So the principle of meekness to attract God was put in place for salvation. That's where I'm going. So it takes a meek man that can attract salvation. Anything that will save is attracted by meekness. Anything that will save. Okay, thank you for this scripture. Another word for meekness is contrite spirit. And when I mean contrite spirit, a contrite, the word contrite is coming to a place of it looks like, how do I put it? It looks like somebody is contrite. It looks like the person is which word again? I think I saw it. You know, not being sure or being remorseful. Being remorseful, being not confident of whatever. So it's a contrite. It's not, I'm not talking about condemnation. I'm talking about a kind of a walking that can make a man is not a negative one, is a positive one. It's like being in a remorseful state of saying that I'm not worthy for this. I'm not talking about condemnation. I'm not talking about a negative one. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that contrite spirit, broken heart, attracts God. Anything of God, the God seed that is for salvation, that thing attracts it. So the meekness principle, or permit to say, their principle of meekness is for actually to attract God. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. And when a soul is attracting God, it's calling for salvation. Let's quickly see. It says, the Lord is near unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So it is such people that salvation message will actually, you know, be given to. Now you can hear the message and it's not yet given to you. So it's those people that it's given to, the sacrifice of God, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, God thou will not despise. James chapter 1 verse 21. So that will not despise. So it is that, so the seed of God that I was talking about initially is called the engrafted word. It has a capacity to save soul. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness. So it is a meek heart that attracts engrafted word or the seed of God. So the seed of God is not just landing upon every Christian. So God put Christ process in place to work out meekness for his seed. I don't know if you are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. Hallelujah. That is exactly what that thing is for. So meekness is not to gain a title in your workplace. If they give you, put it in the locker. Meekness is for salvation. That's exactly what I want to say. I think meekness, because you can be meek, and then you have a lot of praises. That is not for it. It's just like you have 350 in jamb, and when they are doing posterior me, you have gone to celebrate your jamb. You have missed posterior me. What essence is jamb if you don't enter university? So jamb is for you to enter university. But when you get a high call, that people celebrate you, they're not going to celebrate you. But it's for a transition to something. So meekness is not to gain a Christian praise. No. Meekness is to access salvation. He said, the meek will eat clothes with salvation. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. The book of Psalm. Can you quickly take me there? It is the meek that he clothed with salvation. He said, the meek will he guide in judgment. All these things are for salvation. Will he teach his way? Amen. Thank you. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify. Salvation is beautiful. He will beautify. The book of Psalm, it says that great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. What makes that mountain beautiful? They are saved men. He said the garment of the high priest will be for beauty and for glory. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. So the meekness actually is a ticket to access salvation. Are you getting what I am saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? Because sometimes if some things are not defined, they can become a stumbling block. The law was supposed to be a schoolmaster. But it was hijacked. It was no longer a schoolmaster. It has become what will raise people that have seats. They have seats in the Lord. They did not connect what the Lord should make them connect. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. So the learning of Christ that should make a man meek is unto something. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So if salvation is really what we are looking for, then you can take your meekness, whatever, serious. Psalm 147 verse 6, we have seen that scripture. Take me back there. And then we'll now check Psalm 76 verse 9. Psalm 147 verse 6, as I'm closing right now. Amen. The Lord lifted up the meek and he casted the wicked down. He lifted up the meek. This lifting up is, you know, if you want to understand this, let me go to Philippians chapter 2. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. And he was, take me to that scripture, you see. And being in the form of God. First of all, he said, let this mind be in you. Before you can do this, you need a mind. This mind is a mind that sees salvation as a pursuit. That's why Jesus can allow himself to be arrested. He could have defended himself. If at the point he asked them, who are you looking for? They all fell back. You understand what I'm saying? So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's a mind that doctrine needs to give us to make us allow this thing to happen. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no, is functioning, is a mind functioning. Made himself by a mind of no reputation. Took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in the fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And wherefore God highly exalt him. So it is the meek that God raises and giving a name that is above every other name. Hallelujah. So meekness is to attract this kind of raising. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at the next Psalm 76 verse 9. Psalm 76 verse 9. When God arose to judge, to save all the meek of the earth. Isaiah 66, as I close. To save all the meek of the earth. Isaiah 66. Okay, before Isaiah 66, permit me to read one more scripture. Isaiah 57 verse 1 and Isaiah 57 verse 17. And then we see Isaiah 66. 57 verse 17. 51 verse 17. Okay, yes, this is it. This is the scripture. Amen. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Amen. So these contrite ones, humble spirit, they attract God who dwell in eternity. Hallelujah. When God was coming to the earth, you see how you see the place he landed now. That's what I'm saying. Hallelujah. When God became flesh, you see the place he landed.
And people that were trained by the wisdom of this world were looking for him in the palace. For whosoever exalted himself shall be abased. And whosoever himself shall be exalted. This exaltation is actually salvation. Okay, Isaiah 66 verse 2. Hallelujah. For all, let's read from verse 1. Thank you. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? When God is looking for rest, he's looking for meek souls. For all those things had my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor. Of course, you see, Jesus talks about to preach to the poor. Say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I don't know everything, but I stand to be corrected. Thank God pastors are here to preach the gospel to the poor. If that gospel is to the poor, then it's not even Christ. It's the gospel of salvation. The poor are not the people they preach to in crusade ground. These ones are the rich. They got born again to now become, to now preach a gospel that will make them poor. When I mean gospel, I make them, please understand me. That will make them poor of this world. So don't be afraid that they are saying we'll not make money. Make money, but don't make the world. Amen. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon, okay, another to preach the gospel to the poor. So this gospel is going to be to the poor. It is the gospel of God. Are you seeing it? It's to the poor. Go to back to that Isaiah 66. To this man will I look. I want to preach my gospel, but I'm looking for a people. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor. Why? And of a contrite spirit. Another attribute of that man that is poor. Of a contrite spirit. Why is he going after them? They have something. They trembled as his word. They trembled as his word. James says that, receive with meekness. So God does not just preach this kind of word, which we saw in Hebrews 2 initially, to anyone. First of all, they have to preach Christ to prepare you for this great word of salvation. Have we gotten something today? Can we just pray? Let us pray that the Lord will help us. So all the meekness design is for salvation. That's what it is. They want to save us. And they really want to save us. I won't lie to you. May we be wise to see meekness designs and not fight it. May we be wise. Pray. Ask the Lord for wisdom and sight to see it.
We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The dayspring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God through his servant, Pastor Dimeji Elugbadebo. Be revived.